Yo, what's the word? What's the word? It's your boy me Don, aka Don, talking with my boy Phil. How you doing, family?
Bro, I'm chilling. I'm good. I'm a little tired, but I'm here, you know.
Hey, that's all that matters, fam, is that you're here. But you already know we're on episode 4 of
One,
the
two, three,
Holy
four.
Podcast. Yes, sir, yes, sir. We talk about a wide variety of topics, things that you guys definitely will be interested in. Definitely gonna kick things off pretty smooth today. It is currently 8 o'clock on a Tuesday, December 17th. And Phil, guess what we're getting ready to watch in a little bit, brother?
The group play championships. Did I get it right?
Yes, sir. Good old basketball. Can't go wrong. Shout out to James Naismith. We got the Bucks and OKC Thunder about to play in a couple minutes. So kind of wanted to run through how the group play has been going so far and then also talk about a prediction that we have for the championship game, you know. So Phil, have you been tuned into the Cup game so far? Been pretty good
I
to you so
have
far?
been tuned in. I have been tuned in. I've been watching my boy Giannis, you know.
Creep.
Yeah, you know, he's doing his thing, right? It's a little under the covers right now with how the media treating him for some reason. Or at least it's what it seems like. But MVP favorite, right? He balling, right? And it's a funny little story how they got to where they got.
Man, who you telling, bro? I thought they were done for it when the season started, bro. I'm not even gonna lie
Hell
to you.
yeah.
They definitely turned it around. Gotta give them boys credit for it. And like you say, not only that, but we have two MVP candidates going against each other with Giannis Antetokounmpo and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, both having amazing seasons, things like
Sir.
that. And honestly, both teams have had pretty a rigorous kind of path to getting here. A couple of the games that was going on beforehand that was kind of really good. And honestly, I thought that the defensive would transfer over, but kind of like how the Rockets ended up playing OKC their last game, and Rockets was coming in the second best defense in the NBA, which is second to OKC, which is kind of crazy. But defensive matchup, but OKC eventually ended up coming on top. J Dub with 20, I Heart with 21 and 8, really great game. SGA roll out of sleep and get 30. So I guess you guys can kind of figure out how that went.
You got to
Yeah,
take
man.
that.
OKC just kind of continuing the storm, continuing to kind of prove to people that, you know, they're contenders. It's not a lot of teams that I feel like are better in the NBA or the association than them. So kind of just seeing how they progress to this point. And even Milwaukee, because to be honest, like we're just talking about, we counted them out, but them going on this winning streak that they're going on, them beating the Magics, which was a great game. And shout out to the Magic too, because the Magic
Yeah.
definitely crazy effort. Suggs, I think, ended up with like 32. Anthony Black had a really good game. And they're
On
barring a
them.
lot of injuries right now. So kudos to the Magic, but that man freak, bro. And I want to get your opinion on it before we kind of continue the conversation. You mentioned like just as far as like the performance that the Greek Freak's been putting on. Phil, did you know that he has dropped 30 in every game that he's played since December 1st?
That's what?
Giannis has dropped 30 points in every game he's played since January 1st, December 1st.
Okay. Okay, that's insane. Hold on. Damn it. That's a crazy stat, but I'm gonna have to raise the fact check question on it.
Fact check me, what we got?
You missed one. You missed one. You accurate, but Tuesday against Detroit, he had a measly 28 on 10 of 11 shooting.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they did play Detroit.
He had a measly 28.
Easily 20. We're gonna give him 30. We're gonna round up. So we just gonna say
Yeah.
this. We
I mean,
round
it's
up.
on 10 of 11 shooting. So, 8
Bro,
for
and it's
12 from the
just
free throw
like,
line.
and I feel like he's in that phase, and that's why I wanted to get your opinion on it because we haven't really seen it too much with like Jokic and things like that. But like, when you get used to greatness, like. I guess why do you feel like that for at this point, like in his career, like why do you feel like I guess he gets left out of those conversations? He's always in the best player in the world talks, but like just MVPs, the accolades. Why do you feel like that?
So I'm gonna use this phrase that gets thrown around when we talk about MVPs, and it's voters fatigue, right? But it's not just voters fatigue when voting for NBA. It's voting for the MVP. It's voters fatigue in the sense of, you know, I'm used to this, right? And you know, in sports, they always have something. You know, people always say, "It's what have you done for me lately?" Right?
Facts.
What's the most recent thing you've done for me? It's easy for the casual fan, which makes up majority of sports, right? There's a lot of diehard fans. There's a lot of folks that are locked into their sport, but the majority of fans, the majority of fan bases are people who watch the sport casually, or watch that team casually, or support that player casually.
Right.
Different levels, obviously, but and nothing's wrong with being a casual fan. There's no harm in that. Like I said, that's majority of fan bases. And in that sense, it's Giannis has been averaging 30 for the longest. When he gonna do something else? You know, when he gonna win another chip?
It's almost like when you get to that level, it's like you gotta do exponentially more for them to kind of give you credit.
Right. You already doing the best. Like if you didn't do this last year and you did it this year, people would look at you and say, man, that's crazy, you're doing amazing. But now you're doing amazing and you do amazing again next year, now it's not so amazing, now it's your norm, you know. Right. So now you got to go above and beyond your norm, and sometimes it's easy for folks to forget, like, his amazing is his norm, but it's not the norm to the rest of the world, you know.
Exactly.
It's still amazing to everybody else. So that's the thing. I think that gets lost in the shuffle sometimes when we judge players, like, you know, like, man, this man is really he's really snapping out here, you know. What are we saying, you know, like as media, when we judge players? It happened to Bron, right? You know, people tend to key in on certain aspects of his game, but when you look at it from a broader stroke, it's like, this nigga is amazing. So
yeah, and I 100% agree with you, bro. And it's like, yeah, and since kind of we were bringing it up, we have the person who he's going against tonight, SGA. We kind of see the flip side of that with him, because especially throughout the past couple of years with new precedents and things like that, like the MVP criteria kind of fluctuates a little bit. So mm-hmm. Here you have a guy who's averaging basically 35-5 on the number one team in the Western Conference. And you have these two individuals in Jokic and Giannis who are doing unprecedented things as far as statistically, but it's kind of going against the usual MVP criteria, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just interesting to kind of see how it plays out, because to be honest, with these two dudes in the league, will Shai really ever have a chance to win MVP for real?
I never want to say no.
But no.
Right. I never want to say no, because it's hard, right? It's hard for a guard in this day and age to win that trophy, right? It's not impossible.
Crazy numbers.
Right. It's not impossible, but the league... The last couple guards who have won it, right? Steph Curry, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden, right? Those are the last three guards off the top of my head who've won the trophy. You gotta take in context what those guys were doing to win that trophy, right? This nigga James Harden was dropping 50 balls for breakfast, right? Like, this nigga woke up, hit the strip club, came to the game, and dropped the 50. He was going crazy. Nah, you know what I mean?
He had to do something above and beyond. I agree. Right. And then remember, too, the year that he was averaging like 36 a game, I want to say he still lost to, guess who?
Who was Steph?
Freak.
Yeah, Freak. Oh, what year was that?
2018. Was this 2018? Yeah, 2018.
You talking about Harden?
Yes, sir. The year that he averaged 36, he lost to Giannis. Because remember, they had that beef. He was like, anybody can go run and dunk.
Oh, yeah, they was. I do remember. And Giannis hit that nigga with a basketball. I remember. No, man, but you
hit it on the head, bro. Like,
yeah, like you got to be special.
You got to do above and beyond. Steph, one of the greatest offensive seasons we ever seen. Man, Russ averaged a 30-point triple-double. So it's, bro, like,
never before seen. So not to say Shaw isn't hooping. We just talked about it, right? That nigga wake up and drop 30. But it's not everyone's doing that. Not everyone, but all the top players in the league are currently doing that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Giannis is doing it. Jokic is doing it. Right. There's other guys. AD is pretty much Luka's, right there. Like,
A-mons. Yeah.
Right. They're all doing that. So he's not currently being above and beyond. You know, and because he's a guard, he's not bringing 12 rebounds a game. And then you got like guys like Giannis and Jokic who are going to give you 30, 12, and 6. You know what I mean? Shai isn't giving you 30, 12, and 6. He's going to give you 36 and 6. Now, that's not a big difference. He's doing what he's supposed to do as a guard. But that things like that help when you're filling the box score on you know, in all levels. It's just hard. It's just hard for a guy like Shai to do it. Not to say he can't do it, because anyone could do it. Anybody could do it.
Right.
Right? You just got to be that guy for 1 year. It's just hard. Yeah. Especially when there's other guards.
Other guards who are hoping, like,
yeah.
And like you say, I think if you watch ball, like, you understand and appreciate his greatness, bro. Like, not only is their team really great, bro, but they're, honestly, I was looking at the numbers, bro. They are probably one of the best defensive teams in the last 5-6 years, bro.
OKC?
Yes, bro. Bro, they have a 103 defensive net rating. They have a 115 overall. So they lead the league in net rating for offense and for defense, bro.
They sit like so tonight. They play the Bucks, right? The Bucks do not sit. The Bucks do not sit. So on paper, it really looks like it's shaping up to be a good old ass whooping. I don't know if I should. I'm allowed to say ass on this pod, but it's not that much. It's not that bad.
Belt to ass. That's what's happening. You can't be mad.
So it's looking like belt to ass tonight. But it's one game. It's not a series. You know, folks just got to play hard for 60 minutes, right? You never know. This, as they say sometimes, after we get an upset, this is why we play. And if the Bucks win, it would be an upset as they're 4.5-point underdogs. But on paper, as it stands, honestly, everything you just pointed to, you know, with the OKC's defensive efficiency, bro, it's going to be a long day for them boys in Milwaukee.
It is. And this is without Chet, their defense. So, because I'm going to be honest, that's what I was kind of surprised. I didn't expect their defense to stay consistent without Chet, because Chet was playing like a DPOY, like the first couple of games for the season. I'm going to be honest with you. He was my pick for DPOY to start the season off. Mm-hmm. Just how good he was with switches, how he can play pick and rolls, inverted pick and rolls. He can guard the rim. He's not as soft as people kind of make him out to be. That's what I like about him, too. But he does take contact. Like, he embraces the contact. So that's what I appreciate about it. It's only so much you can do when you're that thin, but you embrace the contact.
Yeah, don't run away from it. I give him that. Don't run away.
Yeah, so just seeing your defense stay so consistent without him, that really moves me. But I don't care what you say, boy. Jalen Williams is going to be a nightmare on Elm Street guarding that boy, a freak. So.
Nobody can guard him, bro. There's not a person in the league. Like, you know, a couple years ago, the Heat did it well. They talk about building the wall.
You can't build a wall. Yeah,
you can't. It's not working anymore. It's just not something teams are able to do consistently at the moment. You know, building that wall to stop Giannis, right? He's the way he moves his body around the rim, you know, and able to get touches up and draw fouls, right? He's an expert at drawing fouls. So it's kind of hard to do that. So I think Giannis is going to get his 30 ball tonight, right? Dame, I throw in a little 20 ball. But Chris Middleton has an illness, and he's out for the game. He just came back. So I don't know where else points are going to come from. Unless Giannis drops 80 and Dame dropped 40, I don't know how they're going to get to 120, because that's where they're going to need to be, you know, if they want to win this game, in my opinion, you know. Right. So.
That's not bad. But I'm gonna be honest, I'm penciling in Giannis for 40.
I like now, 40.
Granted, I heart Isaiah Hartenstein. He helps a lot as far as from the size aspect.
Yeah.
But schematically, I don't think that they're gonna put him on Giannis because all they, especially if they get Dame,
he will Giannis fall out.
Oh yeah, nah, that's not gonna work. So it helps fall though.
Yeah.
But. I honestly think that I think it's going to be a good one. I think it's going to be a shootout. Like I say, OKC. And what really is kind of, to me, what's changed the dynamic with Giannis is that mid-range game he's added. Man, shooting 48% from mid-range this year.
Bro. Yeah.
That's the highest of his career. And on a good volume of attempts. Yeah. Like, he's taking at least 3 a game.
Nah, bro. So, this is the last thing I say, and then we'll give our predictions and we can slide up on. You know, from this, but people, that moniker of being a run and dunk man, it's funny, but I want Giannis to be a run and dunk man. People forget the man is 6'11". Like he is a center that's playing the power forward position. And because he's freakishly athletic, no pun intended, you know, they think he's supposed to be shooting threes and you know, doing pull up hezzies and whatnot, like the KDs of the world are doing. That's not his game, bro. I want him in the paint dunking on folks, and that's what he is doing at an elite clip. He's doing his job. So the run and dunk moniker is apt, and it's the right moniker he should have, and I don't think it's a slight to his game.
Yeah, and I'm gonna be honest, you just spoke the gospel just then, because I feel like, and we have this conversation often about how the game has changed because everybody tries to play the same type of style, expecting the same. No, you're Giannis Antetokounmpo. You can get into the paint with two steps and dunk on anybody in the paint. Play your game. And if you notice, the season two before last season, when he started taking all those threes,
yes, unnecessarily.
And that was like his worst season as him being a superstar. Obviously not his worst season in his career, but as him being a superstar, because you're playing out of rhythm. You're not playing what you do. But guess what? Nah. He decided to do last year. Double down. Okay, forget this three-pointer. I'm going to work on the mid, because the mid, that helps as far as the playoffs, and that helps kind of open things up.
Yeah,
bro, I'm gonna double down, bro. If you can't stop it, bro, I'm gonna just go to the, I'm gonna go to the hoop.
Yeah,
I'm gonna put up, I'm gonna dunk everything. Y'all gonna foul me because I drive harder than anybody in the NBA.
Yeah,
so yeah, bro, play your game, bro. That's all you gotta do. Bro. I know you mentioned as far as predictions.
What you got tonight?
It sound like you riding with OKC. That's what it sounds like.
It's not. So I have to make a prediction, but on paper I think OKC is the better team and they have the better chance of winning. Like I said, 4.5-point favorites, and they deserve that line. You know, I wouldn't have been surprised if it was a little bigger. But I'm gonna pick the Bucks, bro. I'm a Giannis Antetokounmpo fan. I'm a fan, and I've seen what this man could do in a big game. You know, I've seen what this man did against the, I want to say, was it the 76ers or was it the Raptors, you know, in the playoffs that championship year, and going to win the ring. I've seen what he looks like in the clutch when it matters. So I'm a rock with him. I'm gonna say shine them boys. They're not ready. No, I'm just playing. They ready. I just think Giannis gonna show up and show out.
Yeah, I think back to what I was telling you about that narrative of him not getting noticed. I think this is a game, especially where everybody's watching. I think he tries to put on a show. I think
national television.
I think he comes in with the mindset like, I'm gonna crush these dudes in front of everybody so people can remember who I am.
Yes, sir. So that you picking Bucks too?
I'm picking Bucks.
All right, let's get it plainly stated here on the Holo Podcast, Mr. Don
Dayton.
You know,
Bucks. I can't say in four, but Bucks. Bucks in one.
There you go. And from Philip, Mr. Celix, the Silly himself. We are rocking with the freaking Greek. That's what we're doing. He's on my ESPN fantasy basketball team, even though, you know, I know that's not as popular as football, but he is. And my team name's the Gyro Ball, right? We Gyro Ball. That's my number one player. So that's why I'm rocking with him. Well, one of the reasons I'm rocking with him. All right. Who are we shifting to next?
Man, we're going to talk about your... Well, we ain't going to say your guy because you try and hate on him every chance you get, but...
Bro, it ain't any hate, bro.
The man, the myth, the legend, Jimmy Buckets. Streets is saying that he's looking to be on the move soon, man. You know, definitely got one more year left on his contract for $55 million. He has a player option next year, so he can accept that. 9 times out of 10, he's most likely probably going to accept that. But it looks like the Heat's been shopping him around lately. And then I don't know if you've noticed, but recently, Shams let out a report of the couple of the teams that's kind of been shopping around and seeing about, you know, where location he's going to be at. And Jimmy's agent say, not today. You're not throwing smut on my name.
Capri.
Quoted Shams' tweet stating that, I usually don't respond to things like this, but...
Yes.
The cap. So, we got Jimmy's party saying that it's cap. We got Shams saying, and actually double down. On ESPN earlier today and said this was actually one of the most vetted stories he's ever covered.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's basically putting his everything on the line to say that this facts. So, Phil, how you feeling about this? Because basically, the team so far that's kind of just been on the radar, the two main teams that people have been kind of connected to him is the Warriors and the Phoenix. Realistically, I see him going to Golden State more than Phoenix just from the asset standpoint, unless they can kind of find a way to flip that Beal contract.
Yeah.
Phil, as the... We can call you a Heat advocate because you're still a Heat fan. You just don't like some of their players, but...
I mean, you can't. So as I've stated in our, we have a group chat podcast, and as I stated in the chat, I'm kind of anti Heat, you know, just because I've had to battle my takes for so long. Because people think my takes age like milk, but you really just got to give it time, and they'll age like wine. And I've been screaming trade Jimmy Butler for a couple of years now, at a time when it didn't look like that would be a good decision. But sometimes you see the writing on the wall, bro, and I saw it. Bro, it played out right in front of me. I seen it.
I'm gonna let you have this moment, but it's not the best to ask to trade your best player out coming off two final trips. But you stood
your
test.
No, it's not. So
you stood your test.
It did. So look, I'll be real. So one thing, it was either trade Jimmy Butler or go and surround or go and build a proper team. Right, and the Heat were not building a proper team, and after a point I was like, okay, I don't think this is gonna work out. Yeah, we should trade Jimmy while we can, get some pieces in, and go on a soft rebuild because we still have Bam and Hero, and we can get a couple picks and one or two young players. And I've seen Spo work magic with less. I don't think we'd ever enter a true rebuild, but we could enter a soft one. You know, like take a year or two where we're not true contenders, because we're not true contenders with Jimmy Butler. You know, rebuild, retool, and get back in the mix of things. So that situation has finally been brought to the forefront, right? There are actual real-life trade rumors of Jimmy Butler now. If I had to pick a team to send him to, I'd pick the Warriors, right? I think the Heat should trade him, right? Jimmy Butler has missed a lot of games this season, and Hero, as part of that, has been flourishing, right? Hero's always been a talented player. He's had some down moments in recent years, but, you know, you saw it from day one as a rookie. That man's a bucket, right? People were calling him, you know, Baby Book, right? You know, it was in the bubble, but he was balling in the bubble, right? Even before the bubble, he was balling. I remember that game winner he hit against Philly, the game winner he hit against the Bulls rookie year. Like, I remember that. I was there. The Bulls one was over Chris Dunn, if y'all want to look it up. These guys are talented, right? These guys are talented. So the Heat are not going to win a championship this year, and they're not going to win it next year paying Jimmy Butler $55 million. Get rid of him. Trade him to the Warriors. Bro, go bring Jonathan Kuminga in. Get a couple picks. And get, like I said, Jimmy Butler has missed a lot of games already this season, and I guarantee you he's going to miss more.
I don't care about him playing. I'm not even going to lie to you.
So, like I said, he's going to miss more. You know, that's his MO. So there's no reason in keeping him when you're not going to win a championship, and you've already paid him twice, right? This is his second. This is his second contract with Miami, and he's on the wrong side of 30. You know what I mean? So we don't need to pay him again. We don't need to give him another extension. Trade that man. Let it be done. You've done right by him. It was a good run. Move on. Right. That's my take. I do think though, agent the Sham thing. The agent
sticker.
Exactly, right? Get him out of here. But the agent Sham thing, right, with Shams, I think that's just smoke and mirrors. You know, Jimmy probably, you said he has a player option. He likely wants an extension, right? Whether it's a 1 year or a 2 year extension, you know, players like that financial security. So that's probably why that's putting out there to force the Heat to either trade him or pay him. So especially with how NBA contracts look these days, there's a lot of money to be made. But I say get rid, man. Move on.
See how they do you. For all y'all listening, man. See how you guys are as fans?
Yeah.
Nah,
I like it, bro. It's a business.
I like to make Phil feel bad about it, but nah, I'm on board with you, bro. Like, I feel like he are never going to be a rebuilding team just because the culture and it's the position they put them in. Just as far as, like, because people forget, Tyler Hero and Bam are still very young players in the league. Like, so you still have a timeline to where you could be a competitive team. So I agree. Getting out that contract right now, like I say, he's been playing good recently, but obviously you want to get that trade value up. I want to say, didn't he have like a 35, 18, and 10 game recently? Something like that?
I think he did against the Pistons, and we lost.
They lost.
Yeah, that's the type of, that's what I'm talking about, bro.
Oh my gosh, hold up. Jimmy had...
Let me pull it up too, just so I'm in tune with you. Yeah, I watched, but he was going crazy.
He went dumb stupid.
Look, oh my goodness. 35. 19. Yeah.
Four steals.
And a block for good measure. Yeah, but guess what? Like, he left with the L.
This is nuts, man. Because guess what? Somebody else dropped the triple double. Mr. K, what'd you call him? K Buckingham?
K Buckingham, man. The one and only, bro. He blocked him. He blocked him. After he hit the shot to go up by one, he went and blocked Jimmy on the other end, right?
Nah, that's nasty. And y'all can't say we don't know ball because we are watching Piston games. So, got that. But... yeah. One more question, I guess, before we move on. How do you... So, the two dark horse teams that they kind of have is Dallas and Houston. Mm-hmm. I don't think he fits Dallas stylistically, just like how they play. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Houston doesn't really fit as far as the timeline purpose, but I get it, him being from Texas, kind of like wanting to go back to the Texas teams. How do you feel about those two teams?
So, I'm right there with you, bro. I think you already hit it in a nutshell. Like, Dallas... I don't think he fits the space game that Dallas likes to play, you know, and the slow methodical approach sometimes when Luka has the ball, right? They can push space and they can be fast, but at the end of the day, Luka's not a fast player, and he needs space around him. Luka's gonna have the ball in his hand, and Jimmy's not necessarily your catch and shoot guy, right? Jimmy needs the ball in his hands to be effective, you know, on the offensive end, that is, right? On the defensive end, you know, you're gonna get you're going to get a great defensive player, no doubt about that, right? His offensive skill set would not be as impactful as they would have want him to be for that, for his name and for his salary, right? I don't think he would bring the impact that they would expect from a player of that caliber in their offensive scheme. Houston, similar deal, not necessarily offensively, but from a youth standpoint, I don't think Houston's a great team, right? Houston's a great basketball team. I think they're a year or two away from a championship though. They got, you know, Jabari Smith, Sengun, Jalen Green, obviously, right? They got some older guys like Van Vliet and Dylan Brooks, but the main core guys, right? You got Eason and Thompson off the bench, right? A year or two away from a championship. And I don't think if you add Jimmy Butler this year, that tips them over the edge. It could, but from an offensive and a defensive skill point, I think he'd fit right in, right? Ime is a good coach and he'll know what to do, but I just don't think that's just extra money, extra baggage that you don't need in your locker room at this point in time. Let that team, don't rush the process, man. Let it grow, let it do its thing and develop. I think as a Heat fan, I'd want to trade with the Warriors. That's also, I think, the best fit for him and the Warriors from both sides.
I agree. But to be honest, if I were a Heat fan, I think the team that could put together the best package would probably be Houston.
Oh no! Oh yeah, from that standpoint, yes, for sure. Like, bring me the twin. Bring me the twin immediately.
But that's what I was going to ask you. If Houston hits your phone, Pat, wake up, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
He get up, answer his phone. What's your name? I forgot. Mr. Stone, Raphael Stone. He hits Pat phone. I got Cam Reed Shepherd. Let's do Cam Reed Shepherd and Fred in two picks.
I'm gonna say I'd say no to that because I don't want Fred deal. If you say Cam Reed Shepherd, and we already got small guards, but we don't need a third one. You know, we got Terry Rozier, we got Hero. We don't need a third small point guard.
But Fred's on a good deal though. Remember, he signed a 2 year, 3 year, 90.
He's not on a bad deal. I feel like it was more than
that. That's a tradable deal. I think they set it up
more than that. You tell me it's not more than that?
Nah, he's not getting 100. I want to say it's like 90. I want to say it's like a 2 year 90, 3 year 90.
Let me, you know, we doing this pod, we fact check.
Yes, you see, my brother corrects me. We got to be on point.
Yeah, nah, bro, you probably right. Hell nah, brother. Nigga signed a 3 year 128.
Did he really?
Hell yeah.
I knew it was like a 2 or 3 year. Damn, I didn't know it was 1 2. So it must have been Dylan Brooks who got 90.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, next year is they have a team option next year, actually, so that's not a bad deal.
Both of them.
Yeah. Next year. Okay. This year he's getting paid 42, and next year they got a team option for 44. So that ain't bad. Nah, think about it. That ain't bad. They can decline that bit. Yeah, so they got a club option, man. They can decline that, you know, no worries. I don't know I don't know how that works, but he's about to be 31, and in the NBA at this point in everyone's careers, 31 is not the big separator that it used to be. People are playing a lot longer, you know, i.e. Jimmy Butler, i.e. Drew Holiday. But I just wouldn't want that, right? The Heat are going to be in a prime position to pick some other guys up in you know, in a year or two from now, right? There's no reason to take on this guy because there's just no reason to do that. Give me Cam Whitmore, give me Reed Shepherd, and give me Eason. Right, I'll leave the twin. Give me Eason.
They're not trying to get rid of Eason. Eason looking like an all NBA defensive team guy.
He a boy. I ain't gonna lie, he a boy. That boy nice. I ain't gonna lie. That boy nice.
He's cold, bro. I don't think they're trying to get rid of. I was gonna say Amen, but they're not trying to get an Amen.
Hell no, they're not gonna do that, bro. Because it's rough. Them boys sit like you see the chairs we sitting in, bro. That's dumb. But them boys sit. You know,
he's a very different player. Like, I don't think I've seen a player like him in a long time. Like, he's like a guard. They can play like 1 through 5.
Versatility, bro.
But he can pass the heck out of the ball. It's like he's an odd player, but he's really good though.
Bro, that's the type of player that Spo would turn into a demon. You know what I mean? No, Spo likes that. Like a Jalen Johnson type player who plays for the Hawks. You know what I mean? Guys that can really fill in at anywhere you need them to be and just do a bunch of different things on the court at a decent enough level, bro. You don't got to be elite at anything, but you're decent at a lot of things. That is a great player to have on the court.
Whenever you're shooting 60, whenever you have a 60% true shooting and you don't shoot threes, you're a good player, bro. That's like Giannis. Right.
That's not a big?
That's not a big, bro. 60% true shooting and you don't take threes?
Good play.
But yeah, bro, I think... So you think Warriors... So if you realize if you do go to Warriors package, y'all getting Kuminga. He's going to be in that package.
I want Kuminga. I've seen some hate towards Jonathan Kuminga. And I think we talked about it in the chat. I think Paulie brought it up. That, you know, he doesn't necessarily think he's a good player. I think he's a young player. He's 6'7" and athletic.
And 23 years old.
Exactly. And he is not in the type of scheme that benefits this game, in my opinion. They're playing him at the four, right? You know, maybe Spoke still plays him at the four because Spoke kind of did the small ball. But at the same time, we're not going to ask him to be no shooter. You know what I mean? Like, he'll be allowed to take shots. I think Spo will fine tune his game a lot more. And the biggest thing is we have nothing to lose. You know what I'm saying? We have nothing to lose.
Hit one of these. Nothing.
Exactly. It's like if he doesn't work out, you know, why not? Move on.
So. Nah, for sure. And then one more thing before we move on. And this is kind of a simple question. You think he gets traded before deadline? Or by the deadline?
Man, it's a hard one. It's kind of a gray area because Pat Riley does not want to do that. I know he doesn't want to do that.
Only reason I asked so though is because Warriors have kind of made it known that they're trying to be very aggressive this year, especially with how good of a start they kind of had. So
yes, they went and got Shooter. You know, I think it's a great pickup.
Which I also think that they're going to try and flip, but that's neither here nor there. But
yeah, so I think they do. I think they do. The writing is on the wall, bro. Jimmy's consistently missing games. And yes, he's still playing good. He obviously just had 35, 19, and 10. But
still out here coloring his hair.
Exactly. He's being, I ain't going to say weird. He's being odd. Hey, Pa, nothing's wrong with that. If you want to color your hair, do what you want, live your life. But Jimmy Butler
I'm not Phil. Don't do it like him.
Don't do like Jimmy. That's what I'm saying.
Don't but do it. Hey, Pa.
Yeah, do what you want to do. But not like Mr. Butler. Anyway, I think they do. I think they do. And maybe I'm just speaking into existence or trying to manifest it, but I think they do.
For sure. Okay, well, we're going to see how that goes, you know, see if Jimmy's on the move. Definitely be a crazy move for the middle of the season to happen. But, you know, as far as, you know, everything NBA, you know, definitely looking forward to that cup game and everything. So we're just going to see how that goes tonight. But, Philip, you kind of want to let us know what's been going on in the association, your association?
My association, otherwise known as the league, the National Football League, right?
League, not association.
There you What's the difference? Nothing, bro. An association or a league at its core, it's the same thing.
Dudes just want to be different. Dudes just want to be different.
Exactly. NFL sound harder than NFA.
Yeah, thank God for Roger Goodell.
I don't want him. But yeah, let's get to it. NFL, again, it's going to be a constant repeat on the pod until we get to the nitty gritty, until we get to the end of it all. But the playoff picture, baby, right? Things are continuously shaping up. We got a lot to look at. So I'm going to start in the AFC, work our way down to the NFC. I'm going to touch on all the divisions real quick. AFC East, Buffalo Bills, right? Josh Allen, MVP favorite, 11-3, just beat my Super Bowl favorite, the Lions, in a very exciting game.
That was a crazy, really good game. Detroit tried to make something happen to it.
They did. They did. They just, you can't start too slow against a team as good as the Buffalo Bills, because the Buffalo Bills like they started slow against the Rams, I remember, but they came up and turned it on. The Rams already had a lead and they just stuck with it. But the Bills are gonna come at you, and if you start too slow, you're not gonna have time to come back, because the Bills are gonna be right there. And Josh Allen is an MVP, playing like an MVP, showing why, you know, he should be in that conversation. He should be first in that conversation.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm glad you fixed that, but then you continued, but go ahead.
Hey, come on, bro. Like I said, I'm a hater, but I'm honest. You know what I mean?
I'm going to let you, I'm going to get you a spill, but because the pod hurt. See, and that's the good thing about this pod. So we have things on record now.
Hell yeah.
We heard you singing Saquon's praises a pod ago.
I did.
Trae Young. That's for the listeners.
For Saquon, I think Saquon's still a dog, but like, hey, the NFL is 17 games, right? That means you have 17 opportunities to make things happen, right? So the MVP race has not been decided, but this week, these run of games, Josh Allen has probably leapfrogged, right, the other competitors after beating the Lions, right? That's a big win, and he played phenomenal in the win. So that bumps up his resume. Saquon could run for 200 yards next week, and Josh Allen could throw for 150 and a pick, and Saquon could leapfrog him. You know what I'm saying? So we'll get there. But as of right now, as it stands, the Bills are looking like hot stuff. Stay in the same division. We ain't got to touch on the Jets, Patriots. We leave them alone. But the Dolphins, right? Their playoff hopes are kind of eviscerated. It hurts me in my chest to say that because I'm a Dolphins fan.
You go using words like that, that's how you know it's over.
It's cooked, brother. Like, you can't throw from two, or you can't throw three picks and win. Last thing I'll say about them, you hold a team to 20 points, you got to win, and you need to go get it at wide receiver. Go get Territorial Matt Miller from Arizona, and you might have something to say.
I wanted to talk to you about that because I heard you guys talking about that. So when the Chiefs won their first Super Bowl, who would you say was that? Would you say that Kelce was that
87 for 87? Chiefs? Bro, when it was third and seven, third and five, third and nine, big time, big moment, need a play. They threw the ball to 87. You know, and a lot of the times there was a linebacker on his hip, there was a corner on his hip, there was a safety on his hip. 87 is big. You know, obviously he's a tight end, he's big, and you know he can box out like basketball essentially. But he's trustworthy. Like, he catches the ball with his hands, and he's gonna make a play. There's been plenty of times. Tyreek Hill is a phenomenal player, do not get me wrong. But there's been plenty of times, right, where there's somebody on him. Now don't get me wrong, I've seen Tyreek moss guys too, right? This is not improbable, but consistently when you need it, there's been times where the ball has hit his hands, but there's a defender right there, and his hands are just not strong enough, not powerful enough to bring it down. And Sunday was a prime example of that against Mr. Stingley. But like I said, Tyreek's a phenomenal player, but every single team who's good has a go-getter, a guy that can go up there and get the football when you need it most. Like Jamar Chase ain't dropping that. Justin Jefferson ain't dropping that. And even if they do drop it, it's incomplete, not a pick. They're not getting out-muscled by a corner that's falling. So that's my take on that. I'll move on. Pittsburgh. We'll go to AFC North. We got Pittsburgh. We got Baltimore. We got the Bengals, who are also 6-8.
I watched the Pittsburgh Eagles game. That was a really good game too.
It was a good game. Pittsburgh. You know, we knew AJ Brown and you know, I'll touch on Philly when we get there. But just focusing on Pittsburgh, right? It was a tough game for them. You know, early on, right? They, you know, they're Pittsburgh. They're always going to be a competitive football team. So I don't think this game gonna like make them go backwards or anything, but they're in the playoffs, right? They're in the playoffs, so clinched already. You know, we'll see how Russell Wilson looks, whether it's gonna be like a Super Bowl year, like, you know, like OG Seahawks, or you're gonna see the Broncos Russell Wilson at some point. I don't know.
Super Bowl year.
I'm saying performance wise, like how you gonna play,
brother. Russell Wilson hasn't played like that since the Obama administration, brother.
No, you. That's facts. That's facts, but you never know, man.
Life was very different when Beast Mode was popping the Skittles. Like,
bro, you right. You right. Don't get me wrong. I ain't saying that's what he gonna do. I'm just saying, will he do it? You know?
Nah, for sure. You just need it for a playoff run.
Exactly.
Games,
but,
if you can, you know.
Yeah, right underneath them though, we had a great Action Jackson, as I seen you call it, seen them boys call it in the chat, Action Jackson, right? The Jackson Five, right? Lamar, he snapped, but
he lucky scared me that first couple minutes of the game. I'm like, brother.
Oh yeah, he fumbled, ain't it?
Yeah, I'm like, brother, what are you doing?
The thing with that though, bro, it's the Giants. You know, he beat the Giants. They got the Steelers at home next week. Then they got the Texans, right? Two big games.
The Giants or the Ravens?
The Ravens. They got the Steelers and the Texans away to finish the year, right? Are we going to see Jackson 5 against the Steelers? Because the Steelers, if I remember correctly, took his lunch money earlier in the year.
They can't do that by the business.
So now they're going to be home.
I'm not even going to lie to you. Now that you mentioned it, the Ravens have had a pretty tough schedule this year.
Oh, they've played some people, right? The AFC North is always going to be tough. So that's always, you know, that's always a couple games out of the year that are guaranteed tough games, you know. And then they had some other games on that schedule out of division that, you know, they had to play Buffalo, right? They beat them. They had to play Buffalo. They had to play the Commanders, right? They had to play the Bucks. You know, they had to play they played the Broncos, who aren't necessarily a pushover. They play Philly, right? It's a tough schedule.
Nah, they played a tough schedule.
Schedule. So, you know, we'll see how they finish out, and then we'll see what they look like in the playoffs if they make it. I think they will make it 9-5, but they haven't clinched yet, so I'll still say if. Right. Last thing I touched on, 6-8 Bengals unlikely to make the playoffs. What do you think? You know, what do you think they should be doing in the off season? Like, what should be their focus?
Joe Burrow to sell the Batmobile.
There you go.
So they can get some money for some more players.
I mean, nah,
bro. Like realistically, bro, I think they're just way too pass heavy. Like in my personal opinion, like for Joe Burrow to lead the league in passing yards, their old line has always kind of been not so good. So I feel like it's a big reason because of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, bro, they gotta just invest in more weapons. Like you can't just be Chase Merchant, and he's that good to be a merchant, but. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's just not sustainable as far as like a season and things like that.
Some people say it's just defense. You know, like if I look at these three losses they had right here, 35-34,
34-27. Oh, they're in shootouts. They're going to be in a shootout.
So you think that's just a defensive problem, or?
I mean, I feel like football is one of those games where it can definitely coexist, especially in their situation. Because like I say, we know you guys are good on offense, but when you don't have a consistent offensive force and you're kind of like letting teams score, you're always in an uphill battle, I feel like, playing like that. So I definitely think the defense could get a little better, especially like in the secondary. I'm not really too fond of that. Yeah. But honestly, I feel like offensively wise, if they kind of tune that up better, get the O-line better. Shoot, they've been trying to do that for the past couple of years, but I guess not doing a good job. But I feel like that would probably be what I focus on first. Because defense, I feel like defense, in my personal opinion, is kind of easier to fix in the NFL than offense. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. How do you feel about that?
For me, I think kind of what you said. So I always say this when it comes to football, context matters, right? Context definitely matters.
That's anything.
Right, you can't just key into any one thing and be like, yeah, that's why. But they do have some problems, I would say, right? Joe's going to fill up the box score. Chase is going to fill up the box score. T. Higgins is going to give his say. But there are times where they look off on offense, right? They still put up 35, but, you know, it's a game of inches, as they say, and that could apply to many different things, right? Like, if you're off for one or two possessions and then you lose by a field goal, right, like Joe Burrow threw a costly pick last game against, I want to say it was the Titans, right? They ended up winning by 10, but after the first quarter it was 14-7 because of that interception. So there's mistakes like that give other teams the teams they play, you know, a chance to have a say in the game more than they probably should. So it's a little bit of everything. Hey, all I know is they did have a chance to go get Penei Sewell, but they chose to get Chase. Can't say it's a bad decision because Chase is a baller, but that O line, you know, it's what you want, right? You want this or you want that, right? So they have Chase, they have an elite weapon, but the O line needs work. So
it needs a lot of work, bro. Because I honestly feel like, and if you remember that when they made that Super Bowl run, when they had Mixon out there. What another running back they had out there?
I want to say Mixon was the main guy. I don't remember if they had a second dude, but.
But they had a really solid running game. And that's it being solid, not even elite. They had a solid running game, and they were able to win the game.
So
just think differentiating that offense probably would help out a little bit, too, not being so predictable.
Probably. So moving on from them, we'll go to the AFC South. Not much to talk about there. The Colts kind of just clinched that division, I believe, with that win. With the win against the Dolphins and the Colts losing to the Broncos, they clinched that division, clinched the playoff spot. My thing with them, I don't think they're going to make any type of player friend. That defense is elite. So a lot of people look at that Dolphins game and say, oh, Tua played bad, woo. But that Colts defense has been elite all year at forcing interceptions, forcing mistakes from the quarterback, and shutting things down. But as it's, you know, defensive championships, but you're gonna have to score in this day and age in 2024. You're gonna have to score, and CJ has looked off. Right, they only put up 20 points against the Dolphins. And
by the way, brother, not to cut you off, but you said the Colts, you meant the Texans.
Oh yeah, I'm talking about both of them. You're right, but the Colts. I mean the Texans.
Are you talking about the Texans now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. The Colts lost against the Broncos. They're in that same division.
Oh, okay. And, okay. Yeah, I just didn't want you to mix that up. But go ahead.
No, hey, we fact checked on the pod, so you.
Hey, I was gonna say, but help thy brother. That's all we gotta do. I know people were thinking the TV wasn't working.
Yes, sir. But yeah, my thing was, man, like, you know, they clinched the division. It's a successful season already, just off that. But TJ has regressed in year two. And because of that, I don't think they're going to be able to make the type of playoff run. People thought they would make coming into the year after the rookie year that they had. But that's pretty much it. Also, only thing I say about the Colts, go get yourselves a good quarterback, guys. Anthony Richardson is not the future. You need somebody.
You don't think so? You think he just might just still have some growing pains to work out? Because he is still kind of young, too.
Some growing pains. That boy got a lot to work on. He should have been on somebody's bench, you know, sitting behind a decent quarterback.
I mean, I guess. Man, we got to start playing up. We got to start checking Joe Flacco, man. What's up, bro? Why he not being a vet, bro? Why he always hating on the young quarterbacks, man?
I don't know. I mean, it's a two-way street. It's easy to, I guess, as somebody who's never been in that position, right, on the sports side of things, but I have been in a position, you know, I served in the military, and there's older guys in the military, right, and it's their job to kind of bring the young sailors around. You know what I mean? So it's easy to just look at it and be like, you know, hey, I want to, you know, you're a vet, you've been in this for a long time. It's kind of your unwritten duty, right, to help the young guys in your position room. But the difference between the NFL and the military is that the military, those guys are moving on up, right? They're getting higher in rank. They're older guys. They're getting paid way more, right? You know, the older you get, the longer you stay in, the more money you make. The NFL is not like that. After a while, your money starts going lower and lower and lower the older you are in the league. So you still want to play. You still want to play. You still want to go out there and prove you can still play. You want to fight that battle against Father Time. So it's hard to just give unsolicited advice and help those young guys up, because the more you help them, the better they're going to play. And the better they plan, they're taking your job, right? Yeah. So yeah, that's hard to balance that.
That's been like the story of the test of time, though. And it's an interesting dynamic, too, because like you say, people aren't as willing, especially when you're at a certain point, to kind of give over those keys. Because like you say, it's a lot of, okay, if I help you, what do I get out of it, though? You know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like players understand it, but a lot of GMs and owners and things like that don't understand it. Cachet means a lot, so respect that a player has around the league can sometimes mean just as much as how good the actual player is.
Not for sure. It does, right? Because, right, you know what they say, like, you having that voice in the locker room, right? That means a lot, right? You gotta.
Like, we respect you.
You know, so if you're gonna listen to what you say, so it means something. It does mean something. You play harder for somebody you like playing with, you know.
100%.
So yeah, that's my take on that. We'll touch on the AFC West. Chiefs clinched that division, 13-1. Devil Magic.
Praying on nothing else.
The Broncos again, you know, surprise successful season for most. Bo Nix got a big win against the Colts, 9-5. Looking very likely to make the playoffs, have not clinched yet. Los Angeles Chargers, 8-6, right? They still control their own destiny in terms of the playoffs. So,
such a weird team, bro.
It is. They are a weird team, and Dobbs getting hurt kind of affected them. But they're built very odd, right? They're built kind of like a college team, you know, kind of like a Mountain West college team. They don't really have that guy, you know, the super talented wide receiver. Not to say Ladd McConkley isn't super talented, but you know, he's not you know, Puka Nacua, right? He's not Jamar Chase, and they don't have that other guy. They don't have a cream of the crop wide receiver group, yet they're finding success. That's why it's like a college team.
It's just funny you saying that with Harbaugh being their coach. It's actually kind of hilarious.
Exactly, man. It kind of makes sense then, right? He just came from a bunch of years coaching Michigan. Obviously, he has NFL experience, but the Michigan experience didn't just go away. He's going to bring some of that with him. And I think that's why they kind of feel like a college team. But hey, they're 8-6, two games above 500. I can't say it's the wrong thing to do in year one of a new coach. Yeah, that's my AFC rundown. Take it to the NFC, starting in the NFC East. Philly, 12-2. The most dysfunctional 12-2 team I've ever seen.
But you think they're getting a divorce?
Exactly. I don't understand it, bro. Like, what they got going on? So, but they 12-2. So it's like, what's there to be unhappy about, right? Okay. You know, you 12-2. Get like, I don't know if you saw the clip, right? The Nick Sirianni, their head coach, arguing with the D-line coach on the sideline, just going back and forth. Like, Nick Sirianni is his boss. If y'all gonna argue, you do it in the building. You know, not on the sideline, like.
Yeah,
he could maybe fire
maybe you. They one of those teams they thrive with the toxicity, like they like it when it's toxic, you know what I'm saying? You know, they Philly, so you know people like that Philly anyway. So
that's true, but you're not gonna win a Super Bowl like that.
Oh no, nah, for sure not against
boy. If you down, I can see it now. Them boys down 10 points in a playoff game, fourth quarter, and they on the sideline fighting each other, and instead of trying to come back and work on a game plan, they're arguing.
AJ Brown thinking about if he wants to what's his name or not.
I'm trying to tell you, like, why receiver's gonna be dramatic? That's just a part of the game. Yeah, nah, bro. That toxicity, like you said, they might thrive now, but it ain't gonna be what takes them to the promised land. It's gonna be what stops them. You know, that's conducive to winning football games at the highest level in this day and age. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you're not the best team around. But I don't get it, bro. 12-2, you're on top of the world in the NFC. What the hell got y'all acting up so bad? And you know how wide receivers be, they dramatic. So I expect that from AJ Brown a little bit, because, you know, all wide receivers like to cry.
Yeah, nah, bro. I told you, bro. You can't find one. I think that just might come with a job description. You got to be able to catch a football, get 1,000 yards, and act a fool the whole season. Come with a description. To be wide receiver one, that comes with a job description.
It do. Like I said, they all dramatic. I'll leave them alone,
Eagles,
though.
Eagles, yeah. Nah, Eagles, and, well, before you move on, I just want to give credit to Hurts with him hearing the noise and having the game he had. I want to say, well, yeah. 115 passing rating, real good. Like 25 for 32. Yeah, nah, he came to play.
Yeah, no, he did. I, you know, if you're a gambling man, after all the news I heard, you know, prior to that game, I would have told you straight up AJ Brown is scoring a touchdown, right? Like that was written in stone, right? Just to make all the noise look good, they was gonna get that ball to that man for a touchdown. It was gonna happen. Just to squash the beef, as they say, even though it's not squashed. Washington Commanders, 9-5. They really, 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 really tried their best to lose to the Saints. The Saints did get a little bit of help at the end, you know, with the refs stopping the clock when it wasn't supposed to be stopped. So they got a couple extra seconds, and they did score the touchdown, but they missed the 2-point, and you know, they Commanders ended up walking away with it. But you know, they were up 14-0 at half, and then, you know, got outscored 19-6 in the second half. That shows their youth a bit and why they're not necessarily ready for a deep playoff run. I know that was a question that was asked on, I believe, episode 2 of the podcast. You know, can the Commanders make a playoff push? But
right. Y'all go watch that too.
Yeah, if you haven't, go listen to episode 2. But just to piggyback on that, you know, this game kind of shows why they can't. I mean, they won the game, and a win is a win, but they're not going to be playing the New Orleans Saints in the playoffs. So there's that.
He said there's that.
I'll skip the Cowboys. They're 6-8. We'll see what happens. I don't think they're
making
playoffs.
Dang, you want to talk about the Cowboys? That's America's team.
I don't
want to
talk about the Cowboys, man. Not this America. But you might get kicked for that. Nah, I mean, ain't really much to talk about, bro. They're 6-8. You know,
nah, I don't want to talk about it.
I slide down to a very fun division, though. The NFC North, Detroit Lions, Minnesota Vikings, Green Bay Packers, right? 12-2, 10-4. That has a lot of... Say it, what you said?
Competitive division.
Very competitive division, right? That's a lot of talent that's sitting at the top half of the division. I mean, obviously below them, you got Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears. Not much to say there, as per usual. But Detroit Lions, Minnesota Vikings, Green Bay Packers. Detroit and Minnesota have both clinched playoffs. Obviously, a division winner has not been determined yet, as both those teams are still 12-2. Packers have yet to clinch, but they are likely to clinch. Very, very excited of what all three of those teams could do in the playoffs. My biggest thing for all three of those teams, right, Detroit, is their aggressiveness going to come back to bite them? It did a little bit against the Bills. I believe they went for an onside kick, because you gotta announce onside kicks now, so it lost that surprise factor. I don't know if they should have did that. All right, but that was Dan Campbell being aggressive. Is he going to be that aggressive in the playoffs, and will it cost them? Minnesota Vikings, Sam Darnold is your quarterback. He's been good enough because they're 12-2, but at the end of the day, that's Sam Darnold. He did throw, you know, I believe they played the Bears, and he did throw a crazy pick. I think they went for it on fourth down, and he just threw some bull.
Yeah, man, say at the end of the day, that's Sam Darnold.
That's Sam Darnold. I mean, I like Sam Darnold, right? But, you know, right? Which Sam Darnold are you going to get in the playoffs where that matters the most? Is that, you know, he could be why they win the Super Bowl, but I think he can also very well likely be the reason why they don't. So it's going to be very interesting to see what that playoff run looks like. Green Bay Packers.
Well, not to cut you off, is that like on like the Kirk Cousins type scale? Like, he's good enough to win us the Super Bowl, but he could lose the Super Bowl.
Nick Foles type. Sam Darnold, it'll be a Nick Foles type, right? It'll be a Nick Foles type. Not necessarily Kirk, because I think Kirk Cousins is more talented than good old Sammy. But Kirk didn't have this defense when he was there. I don't know. That's a tricky question. I'd have to think back on that one a bit more before I say anything else. But Sam, it'll be more likely a Nick Foles. Like, if he does go crazy, it'll look like a Nick Foles type of season. But at the same time, we've seen both sides of Nick Foles. We've seen really good Nick Foles go win a Super Bowl, and then we've seen the reverse of that. So I think it could be that type of situation with Sam Darnold. Obviously, like I said, good enough. They're 12-2, right? So I can't say like, hey, now they need to bench him, blah, 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 blah. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying he could be the reason why they don't go win that ring. And the Green Bay Packers, that's a funky little team to me. They have a good defense, right? Their offense can obviously put up points. But sometimes when you get Jordan Love on the pressure, you know, when you send that fire after him, that's when I seen him make mistakes, right? That pick is coming. When he's under pressure, when he's not under pressure and he can, you know, sit there and pick you apart, he'll do exactly that. He'll pick you apart. They got some really good guys in that wide receiver room, and Josh Jacobs is obviously a guy. So I'm very curious to see what that looks like in the playoffs as well when he's going to be facing pressure because he's only playing good teams. That's the NFC North. You got anything you want to say about them before I move on?
Nah, I mean, you kind of hit it on the head, bro. I mean,
yeah, I'm yapping right now. No cap.
No, you're not. No, you're passionate about it. You're passionate, bro. That's all. You're passionate about what you do, bro. But
I appreciate that.
Nah, they got Mr. So Icy out there in Minnesota, man. I don't really like, I'm gonna be honest, like, that's another team to where it's like you said, it's like they're a good team. But you know, like, you know those teams that are good, but if they had this, they'll be really good.
It'll be crazy, yeah.
Minnesota is one of those teams. Like, if you get them another consistent wide receiver too, and maybe a quarterback, which is like, obviously, I'm saying this like these things grow on trees, but this is not all the way realistic. But a contingent, consistent quarterback, I honestly don't really see a lot of teams that could beat them with that, but that's not the cards that they were dealt. So,
yeah,
I like them to probably win like a game in the playoffs, but I don't really see them winning more than a game.
Yeah. Hey, you know, it's going to come down to matchups, and we're shaping up to have some good ones. So, I'll move on to the NFC South, right? We got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 8-6, and we got the Atlanta Falcons, 7-7. No division winner yet. No one has clinched as yet, but it's Kirk Cousins. It's Kirk Cousins, right? They just had a field goal matchup. All right, there you go. You said first cousin. They just got a field goal matchup against the Raiders. You know, they won that game 15-9, bro.
Bro, that was a disgusting game. I changed that.
15-9. This man threw for 112 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Like, his QBR was a solid 9.0. Like, that's insane, bro. So I just, you know, they have to finish the year. They have let me bring that back up. I just had it up. So sorry. To finish the year, they got the Giants, the Commanders, and the Panthers. Obviously not a tough run of games. Right, the best team they're gonna play there is the Commanders. But knowing Kirk Cousins, big news actually, while we're on the pod a couple minutes ago, Michael Penix. Let me stop talking about Kirk Cousins. That show is over. Michael Penix Jr. has just been named the starting quarterback. Breaking news.
Let's do it.
Breaking news. Michael Penix, the lefty, has just been named the starting quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. That is actually insane because they gave that boy Kirk a Brinks.
Yeah, bro, he mid. They're literally the definition of mid. One thing about ATL sports teams, they're going to be mid.
Hawks, they're going to be mid. But
Falcons going to be mid.
Oh, let me not say that. The Braves are all.
Oh, can't. Yeah, you're right. I can't throw smut on the Braves. Braves are
wrong. Now, the Braves, bro, they just have some injuries this year. They probably going to snap next season, though. But goddamn, Pennant. Hey, that kind of threw off my whole segment about Atlanta. They got that boy Pennant, the lefty demon from
You throw a monkey wrench in your whole breakdown.
I'm trying to tell you. Hey, Pa, this literally just happened 20 minutes ago. Michael Penix, right? I don't even want to talk about any man no more, bro. But hey, man, I have nothing to say because he needs some tape and we're gonna see what he looks like. I know what he did at Washington, but I gotta see what he do in the NFL. I gotta see what this offense looks like because I know what it looks like with Kirk the last couple of weeks after coming off a 4-game losing streak. What is it gonna look like with the lefty do-rag wearing killer? You know the last time D boy had a actually I can't even say that because I had Desmond Ridder. I was gonna say the last time they had a black quarterback,
yeah,
with Vic. Right. It was Vic, but they had Ridder.
No, you're right. You're still right.
Yeah, we ain't gonna count Desmond Ridder, but you know, we'll see. We'll see what they do out there. That's exciting, though. That's very exciting for them. We'll see if they can still make the playoffs. We'll see if it.
But they never was really like. I feel like it'll be a good situation for him because they're not really like a pass heavy team anyway. Like,
but it kind of. But they could be. You know, they got wide receivers. They got Drake. They got Darnell Mooney. They got Romeo McLeod, and they got Kyle Pitts. You know, the disappearing act of Kyle Pitts.
No,
we thought Kirk Cousins would wake him up. Man, I don't want to talk about that. He on my fantasy team. I mean, I'm in the Super Bowl now, but he costed me some L's. He costed me some L's. Hell nah. It worked out for me, ain't it?
No.
I'm in the Super Bowl, bro.
No, it's not. But nah, shout out to Bijan too though. I seen he had got 1,000 yards rushing yards for the season. First time.
He balling. So we'll see. Yeah. Hey, bro, they're gonna play a team where they're gonna have a good opportunity at home in the Giants, who just came off of Action Jackson whooping. So we gonna see what they do. We gonna see what he do. This is real life. This ain't no gimme game. This ain't no. We don't care about a garbage time game. Like, you need to win this game. You want to make the playoffs. So. We're going to see. I'll leave it right there, though, because Kirk Cousins is no more. NFC West, last division, competitive division, 8-6, 8-6, 7-7, 6-8. Right? Those are the Rams, the Seahawks, the Cardinals, and the 49ers in that order. Who's going to win the damn division, bro? Nobody knows. I don't know. You don't know. They don't know. Who?
They for sure don't know.
Nobody knows, bro. I'm saying the Rams are 8-6 with a minus 28-point differential. Right? That's insane. Like,
that is crazy, not going to lie.
That is insane, but Puka Nacua to the moon. Is that going to be enough for them boys to win the division, to win out?
I'm going to be honest. Even though I wasn't too happy at Geno's them performance last week, I probably still pick the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, it's going to come down more so to like kind of the last couple of games. Because if I want to be correct, I think the Rams schedule kind of favors them because, they play the Jets and then they play the Seahawks. So not gonna lie, that last game is gonna be a very pivotal game.
They play the Cardinals and the Seahawks at home, right? So Sunday. So damn, yeah.
They play two teams in their division the last two games?
The last two games, but they get to play them at home. So those two games right there, right? It literally could come down to the last game of the season. Who wins the division?
That's serious. That division is going. That's going to come down to the money.
Exactly. So we gonna see what they really got on them. Like I said, Puka Nacua to the moon. He took Cup chain. He running. They stuff right now. Same thing with the Cardinals. Right. They right there too. They 7-7. They can still win the division. Actually, no. Can they still win the division? Seahawks got a tiebreaker over them.
They can't. This is kind of
Like I said, Seahawks got a tiebreaker over them. They lost both matches versus the Seahawks.
Yeah,
but they got Panthers, Rams, and 49ers to finish the year. So if they go on a 3-game winning streak and those other teams lose a couple games, they can still make something happen. We shall see. Very tight division, and I'm looking forward to these next 3 weeks of NFL football. And don't worry, you will be kept up to date, podcast. But we talked about that for a hot little minute. But the last few things I want to touch on.
I'm sorry, y'all, but nah, it's just funny though. But it was playoff time though, so we got to round things up. Don't need to.
Hell yeah. Last two things I want to touch on: CFB matchups. Right, I'll go ahead and read them all for y'all real quick.
Real football.
Before I'm gonna ignore NIL, we gonna ignore the portal. Right now, we just talking football, and it starts this week, Friday night. We got Indiana, number 10 versus number 7, Notre Dame. Saturday at 12, we got SMU versus Penn State, 11 and 6, respectively. At 8 p.m., we got 9, Tennessee, 8, Ohio State. Clemson, Texas, 12 Buckeyes. And 5 at 4. Oh, yeah, I forgot we got a resident Buckeye. But that's where we at. So Friday, Indiana, Notre Dame, SMU, Penn State, Tennessee, Ohio State, Clemson, Texas. Those are the matchups, right? Couple big games. Real quick, bro. Ain't no research. Just go ahead. Off the dome. Who you got?
See, because that's the thing. Do you want to put my analysis cap on, or do you want to put my?
I want you to tell me who you winning, bro. Straight up, to get the podcast to answer it right now. They finna bet on this.
If you're betting your hard-earned U.S., well, let me not discriminate because some people might be from other places. If you're putting down your hard-earned tax currency, I'm going with Texas.
To win it all. To win it all.
Like I said, I like their quarterback play. I like their defense. I just like their team overall. And I looked at the teams that they played. They had a solid schedule. They had teams. I like the teams that they played on their schedule. So I'll probably say Texas. I'll probably go with Texas.
I can respect that. For me, I would have said Georgia, but Carson Beck hurt, so I got to see what the backup do.
That's literally the only reason why I didn't choose Georgia.
I might have to go Oregon, but I don't want to give Curb the benefit of the doubt in me saying that. The last thing.
Trust Gabriel like that?
Hell no, I don't trust Gabriel, bro. That man is an enemy of quarterback play. But the last question I ask you about these CFB matchups, which I'm very excited for this weekend. Can't wait to talk about them on the pod. Does Boise State have a shot with that boy Genty? Do they have a shot? Do they have a chance?
I'm gonna be honest, bro. It's tough because like they rely so much on him, bro. Like I don't think that's realistic to rely so much on one guy. But I don't know. Like that's a weird one. I don't think they're good enough to like beat any of those top teams, just being honest, in a playoff setting.
Hell no.
But I could see it being a good game, though. Like, I definitely could see it being a game that goes down to a wire. Because a lot of their games are, like, high-scoring games, too. So, I feel like it'll be a shootout, but I don't really take them too serious, just being honest with you, though. Yeah,
that's my Heisman. That is my Heisman, Travis Hunter.
That's not your Heisman. Nah,
Travis Hunter is not my Heisman. Should have gave it to Genty. But anyway, you know, exciting things to look forward to for that. Also, real quick, Notre Dame is going to touch Indiana. You heard it here first. Last thing I want to touch on, Bill Belichick, going back to coach, but not in the NFL. Right? It's been a long, long, long time for this man. You know, how many years he spent in the league, and he's going to be the head coach of UNC. What do you think about that, bro? Do you think he can do it? Do you think he can be a successful head coach in this day and age of football with the NIL, with the portal, you know, with what's going on? Can he do it?
Hey, man, you know, getting too old to be yelling at grown men, put your hands on you. But I just kind of enjoy the fact that he kind of wants to take more of, like, I feel like he's kind of in that stage of his life where he, like, doesn't really want to deal with pros too much anymore. I feel like he's kind of more into that mentorship phase in his life to where he can kind of give the game back and he can have a real impact, especially to, like, a school like UNC, who's not really well-known for their football program, but... Mm-hmm. Definitely, I feel like I see a coach like him kind of bringing a lot of attention to that school. So,
yeah.
I like it, to be honest. I feel like he chose the right school. It's a school that's not known for football, so his impact can be seen. Mm-hmm. And like I say, just dealing with the youth, especially like you mentioned, these kids who are kind of dealing with NIL and things like that. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to listening to the coach who coached Tom Brady. So,
yeah, no, that's facts. Only thing I say is his kind of like who I thought his college counterpart was, Nick Saban, my GOAT, just retired, right? You know, and he talked about the changing of the game and how college football is changing and why, you know, it's not necessarily his type of scene anymore. And that's why I think, I mean, Bill Belichick obviously took the job. He thinks he could be successful, right? So I just don't think this is his scene anymore when it comes to football. And I think it'll be somewhat of a rude awakening at his age. You know, and when we see it, but hey, I could be wrong. He's arguably one of the greatest coaches of all time, so he knows a thing or two about the sport called football, and he might be able to shut me up. So I don't put that past him. So, but I just don't think he'll be very successful. But we shall see.
Let me ask you this: let me ask you this then. Is it, are you leaning more so it being the NIL is the reason why he's not successful, or is it just more so dealing with that age group as a whole? Is it dealing with the youth that's making you lean toward that, or is it the NIL that's making you lean toward that more so that you don't feel like he's too fun? The reason I ask is because he's not like, he hasn't had to deal with, I mean, he's an NFL coach, he's a pro coach, so he never really had to deal with that dynamic. So yeah, it may be new to him, but I feel like he can navigate it if he comes in there with the right mind frame and the right intentions as far as the program.
You know, like I said, it's what he knows what he's walking into. I'm sure he knows what NIL and the portal is. So he took the job and he's confident he could do it. But they just went from Mac, you know, that a very old coach who, you know, Coach Mac, who wasn't very successful this past season, to Bill Belichick, right? I think they should have went and got them a younger coach that's more in tune with the current generation and more in tune with the current state of the game. But hey, it's Bill Belichick. He knows a thing or two about football. We'll see what he on. That's really it though for all our topics today, but we will finish off as always with our Q&A section, so stay tuned. We jumping right into the first question. We got a couple questions today, but I'm only picking a couple of them. Very first question for you.
Y'all, I cut you off. Appreciate y'all. Y'all comment, send some questions in, DM, all that good stuff. Definitely want to answer you guys questions and kind of just give our input on what's going on in this crazy world we live in.
For sure, for sure. Do not let that be lost, right? But the couple questions we have decided to answer. The first one, what makes a great podcast? That's coming in from Mr. J. Reed. What makes a great podcast? I'll let you go first.
I go first? I appreciate you. Yeah. Sir. I feel like a podcast that has a niche, like a niche, mm-hmm. excuse my grammar, that country came out. I feel like something that kind of serves an audience and that's not only informative, provocative, but at the same time transparent. Because I feel like a lot of times nowadays, podcasts is more narrative based. People are trying to get their point across instead of getting an overarching point across, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I think that's the purpose of podcasts, to give perspective, but wisdom at the same time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's facts.
Oh, my fault. I was just going to say, I feel like what it kind of is now is kind of oversaturated with so many opinions to where it's hard to filter out the good podcast and the bad, because everybody has their preference. A lot of people watch pods for entertainment. Some people watch it for knowledge. But I feel like as long as you have that niche that you're looking for and that the podcast is transparent, I feel like you're kind of set up for success.
Yeah. My answer to that, I don't think you're wrong. I'm just kind of added on to that. I think something that makes a great podcast is personality. You know, kind of what you said. There are, you know, very upfront guys. We're not naive as to the type of field we're jumping in with the whole podcast, right? There are a lot of sports podcasts out there, but we're hoping that you like listening to Mr. C-Legs and Don the Man, right?
Right.
Because our personalities are unique, right? There ain't no other Philip and Madonna out there. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's personality, right? That could help make a great podcast along with what you're saying. You know, our personality wouldn't mean nothing if we just up here spouting rubbish. You know what I'm saying? So got to be informative in the topic that we decide to speak on. But at the same time, got to be me and you got to be you. And I think that makes a great listen. Next question that we're going to rock out with. This is not really your typical sports question, but I wanted to answer it anyway. If you were stuck on an island and you can only have two things, you can only have two things, but it's unlimited. Those two items, what you having? Honestly, y'all, I don't know, bro. I really don't know. I was thinking about it the whole show. I have no idea.
I can tell that this is a question that is really bothering you, because I can tell this is really bothering you
I keep thinking about it, bro. Like,
y'all, this before when we were prepping and things like that for the show, he had a couple answers that were very peculiar. What'd you say? Cream? What'd you say for
some Neosporin type of cream for like Neosporin? Yeah, for like injuries, you know. Because you don't want to get your wounds infected, but like, do I need that for real? Is that one of the two things I would pick? I don't know. Yeah, also said like a phone on unlimited data, so I could watch YouTube and survival YouTube and learn how to do things on the island and text people.
I don't think you're getting too far with a tablet and Neosporin, brother.
Hell no, nah, I don't think so, bro. I just honestly though, I just don't know. Like, I don't want to say water. Be on an island, I could figure something out with the ocean. But food, I guess I could say food.
You know food
and like, god damn it, a tent. Give me unlimited tents. I don't know.
Right. After thinking about it, I'll take two things. I'll take a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
That's one.
But you get unlimited though. So do you really need a whole bunch of Swiss Army knives?
So it's unlimited. Okay, dang.
That's what threw me off.
I'm going Wi-Fi.
You need Wi-Fi? That's what I was saying, bro. Give me my phone and my data, bro.
Give me a tower?
Yeah, yeah.
Talk to me nice. Call me AT&T.
I'm telling you, bro, I ain't staying on the island for long. Them boys going to find me. I'm going to tweet about it and everything. We're going to make a whole vlog.
We're going to make a call.
Exactly, bro. Come get me.
Yeah, boom. We're going to go unlimited Wi-Fi. But then we can't have a tablet or anything without a charger, though.
Yeah, but we have a full day of battery, bro. We just got to make do with that.
Yeah, brother. It sounds like we're cooked if we ever.
No, we're definitely cooked. We're not prepared to survive on an island. So let's not get in this situation.
So let's go. Shoot, we'll go. Oh yeah, we'll go food and internet. Give me my Wi-Fi.
Internet. Yeah, we'll do that. The next question. Let me pick here. We got a couple that I'm looking at. Let me see.
Welcome.
I don't know if you tapped in to Eric Bieniemy, who that is. He used to be the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm familiar. He just got fired, right?
He did just get fired from UCLA, which is crazy that he was even at UCLA. But would Eric Bieniemy be good in Chicago? Could he fix Chicago's offense? That is the question. I could take this one if you want.
Well, I was just going to say, it's not just them they need. They probably need Jesus too. But
they need a lot, brother. They need a lot. So for me, the answer is yes and no, because Eric Bieniemy is a phenomenal offensive mind, right? I don't know if the question meant like as a head coach or just as an offensive coordinator again. As a head coach, no, I don't think he can turn that team around. As an offensive coordinator, making that offense click, yes and no, because one, honestly, I wasn't a big believer of Caleb Williams, coming out of college. So I do think that's part of the problem, Caleb himself. And two, right, they have a lot of problems, right? But the positives, it's only year one for Caleb. And he is talented. He does have talent. So maybe it is just a bad offense. They do have a terrible O-line. So they would need to fix that. They would need to address that. But again, they do have Caleb who can still, turn it around. And they do have some great wide receivers in DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, and Keenan Allen. I don't know if they'd still have Keenan Allen next year, but Roma Dunze and DJ Moore would likely be there.
Yeah, because I think he on a 1-year deal, isn't he?
Yeah, something like that. But
yeah, 1-year deal.
Yeah. But again, Roma Dunze and DJ Moore would likely still be there, especially Rome. So maybe Airbnb would be able to cook something, but that offensive line is a problem. That I think this man has gotten sacked over 40 times already, which is insane. But yeah, that's my take on that. My answer is no. I don't think he could fix it. They need more than an Airbnb.
Nah, I'm floating. All I know is they need to put respect on my boy Justin Fields' name, because they were throwing smut on his name with that trash roster, and they got better and he still got the same record.
I'm right there with you. They should have never fired, if you know ball, they should have never fired Lovey Smith, right? Should have never fired my boy. It's been all downhill from there the second they got rid of the, Mr. Lovey. Chicago fans know Lovey Smith should still be in his job to this day. Fire my black can. But that's it. That's all the questions we really got time for. That's all the topics we really got time for. We talked about a lot. We even broke some news.
Good chop up.
Great convo. Again, you can find us on all platforms you could possibly think of. Let's name them all. We got Apple Podcasts. We got Spotify. We got YouTube. We got All Heart Radio. We got RSS.com. Again, whatever else you could think of, it's out there. We there. Check us out. Look us up. Send questions. Like, share, follow, and subscribe. We are here to talk to y'all, but we want you to talk back too. Thank you guys for a great episode. Any parting words, Madon?
Yes, sir. Nah, definitely appreciate the support. Like I say, keep running the numbers up. Keep commenting. Keep liking. Like I say, follow us on everything. We're gonna keep trying to up the ante on y'all. Got some surprises for you guys on the way. Gonna up the content, kind of up the topics and things like that. Just stay along for the ride. We're gonna take you somewhere.
Yes, sir. And that is it for episode 4. See you guys in episode 5. Peace.